My name is Rosemary Neves, and it is March 13th, 2018. And I am with Catherine Nelson in her farm home. And we are going to be telling stories, or Catherine's going to be telling stories about the early days of her life and incidents around the Athabasca area. Catherine is, her mother's name was Catherine Chillak, C-H-I-L-A-K. Her father's name was Peter Chillak, C-H-I-L-A-K. And her mother's name was Mary
Sosnowski,
S-O-S-N-O-W-S-K-I.
Right.
Her birth date was June 12, 1932, and her place of birth was Annox, B.C. That's spelled A-N-O-Y-X.
Yeah.
Her spouse's name was Earl Herman Nelson.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, your parents were... originally from your father was from the old country. Did you want to talk a bit about that?
About my dad?
Mm-hmm. Just how he came to Canada and that?
I can't remember. He had two sisters in the old country. Mm-hmm. And one got killed.
And that was the old country being...
In the Ukraine.
Ukraine, yeah.
Yeah. Is that thing on?
Mm-hmm. Yep, just carry on.
And then my dad, he worked wherever he could get a job. He worked, he used to go down south to help the people thrash down there, them years, a long time ago when they had nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd come home when the thrashing was all done in the south to make a few dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then... John Sipes gave him the first pig to start in pigs.
Uh-huh.
And I forget who gave him some eggs to set on a hen to set on eggs. Somebody gave him that. So that's how they started their chickens. And I forget how they got the cow.
So that was the beginning of farming out here.
Yeah, that was their beginning.
How did he meet your mother?
Well, I don't really know. Well, that's when he went to Saskatchewan to see his cousin there or something.
Okay.
And somehow they met.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
she was born and raised in Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember how old you were when they moved from Annex?
Just a year.
Not
quite even. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And... you were talking about how they got the land out here.
Yeah, they got, there must have been an advertisement down there somewhere where you can get homesteads for $10. So for $10, they got their homestead, their place there.
Mm-hmm.
They have to clear, there was nothing on it, nothing.
Yeah.
And when they built that house, it was a log house, and he cut the logs on somebody else's place. And Billy McKelvey told me this. He cut the logs in somebody else's place there, and he put the whole house together there, and he numbered the logs.
Oh, clever.
Billy McKelvey said he'd never seen anything like that. And he numbered the logs so they'd know
how to put them.
Yeah, because they were logs, and then they used to peel them with a hand peeler.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd sit on a log and peel them with a hand peeler, and then they... put the house together, and then when it was all together, they took it down and hauled the logs to the place where they are now and put them back together again.
What a lot of work, hey?
I'm telling you,
my goodness.
Yeah. And they was plastered with hot lime, mud, and straw.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that. And the inside of it was all plastered with mud, too, and then whitewashed. You know how you remember anything about that lime whitewashing?
I've heard of it, but I've never done it.
Yeah, my mom, white, ooh, that's how it was, just white as could be all the time. She'd whitewash it. You had to get that lime, hot lime. It would just boil when she was getting it ready, you know.
Oh, is that right?
It would just boil right at the bubble like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to, if you had there on your bare skin anywhere on your hands, it would eat your skin.
Yeah.
And that was, the inside was plastered like that too, and then whitewashed. Yeah.
Was it a fairly large building?
It had two rooms, maybe. It maybe was the size of my living room. Mm-hmm. Altogether was two rooms. They had like mm-hmm. a kitchen in that, and the other half was a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there was yourself. You were just one when you came, and then
yeah. Then there's Annie, was two years, or 2.5 years younger than I am, and Mary is 2 years younger than Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the three girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we made. And I remember when we got more cows, I can remember my mom making butter. We all had to make butter. It was hard. And they had that 1 pound butter things. You'd fill it up with butter, put it on a butter paper. And they used to take the butter to town and sell it.
I can remember. Oh, is that right?
I have that butter taker, that butter.
That's like a mold, eh?
Yeah, it's a mold, yeah. And they used to sell the butter, you know, because there wasn't enough cream to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, and then we couldn't get there either because they didn't have no way of getting there. I don't know how they managed, but
you were saying that you used to go to town once a year.
Once a year we went to town in the summertime, and my mom and dad, my mom went to town in December once every year, and the days are short then, eh? And they had like with horses, eh? And it was cold, you know, and they just had the wood stove, eh? So they wouldn't let us make fire in a wood stove. So when we come home from school, before they got home, we went in the chicken house.
Oh.
They had a little bench there for us,
mm-hmm.
and they had a lantern hung up there, so it was light. And we sat there till they come home. It is a swarm in the chicken house, eh?
Yes, sure.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, I remember our petticoats and panties were all made out of flour sacks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The colored flour sacks, some of them had flowers or diagrams on them.
Right.
And they had, those were panties. And all the tea towels were flour sacks, bed sheets were flour sacks, pillowcases, that was all flour sacks.
Mm.
Yeah.
So your mother was quite a seamstress then.
Yeah, she sewed for when Smalsleys were, you know, they had big family.
Mm-hmm.
She used to sew dresses for the kids for concerts and that. And then McKelvey's, that was a big family too, eh? And she used to sew some for them too.
Oh,
yeah. And then she used to get clothes from a Free Press Weekly. There used to be all those ads in the back,
mm-hmm.
and they used to be able to get used, good used clothes for next to nothing, eh? I can remember sometimes she would get a bag in the mail, just humongous, there, and there'd be everything in there, coats and all kinds, and she made, out of those old big coats, she made coats for us.
Really?
To fit us, smaller guys. Yeah. And all the other stuff. She used everything. There was no waste, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm. I never heard of Free Press.
Press Weekly, yeah, that we had got that for years. Mm-hmm. I think I don't know if it's around anymore or not. But they had terrific ads in the back, you know, about 3-4 pages. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be there one place where you used to could send for old clothes. You know, some of them were pretty good, you know, but you have to remodel them, eh?
Yeah. That's a real skill.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She did lots of sewing.
Did you girls take on some of it, or?
No? I used to sew before, you know. Mm-hmm. Used to sew all kinds of things, but last few years, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So homesteading was. It was tough.
Oh, it was tough. Yeah, it was. It was. I know some people had relief, what they call relief.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. My dad could never get any for some reason. You have to have a pull from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, was it just the three girls then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the family.
Yeah.
You were talking at one point about the early school and how you used to go across to the school, and it was a long way.
With the what?
It was a long way.
Oh, yeah. It was lots of snow them years over the fence posts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always had to be the leader to make the track. We had moccasins. We went to school in moccasins because they were light.
Oh.
But in the wintertime, when we got to the school, the kids' lunches were froze. So they had a great big barrel heater in the school to keep it warm, and we'd all put our lunches around the heater to thaw out for dinner. Yeah. And then when we got a little older, so then I done the janitor job at the school. And my sister stayed with me, and we weren't that old, but we did it for $10 a month.
Oh.
But that was $10 a month, eh?
Yeah.
And we had to clean the brushes, clean the blackboards, sweep the floors, and pack wood in for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It was great big wood, because it was just a big barrel heater, eh?
Yeah.
And then in the morning we had to go get a pail of water from Rupien's for everybody to drink and wash their hands.
Mm-hmm. How far away was that?
Well, that maybe was maybe a little further than from here to the road. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was a ways in the winter time.
Yeah.
It was enough, you know. So we had to do that was for 10. And in the summer we washed the school and scrubbed the floors and that, my mom and I. Forget what we did. You know, the pay wasn't very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, them were the days.
What are some of the things you remember about the school, other than the teachers? Did they change quite a bit? Or
we had Amelia McKelvey. She was our teacher. The first teacher we had was Catherine Rupien.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I can't remember. When I went to school, I did not know one word of English.
Really?
Not one word. We spoke Ukrainian at home all the time, but I did know the months of the year, and I knew the days of the week, and I could count, I forget how long, and I could write my name.
Mm-hmm.
But to speak any English for anything, forget it. I didn't know one thing. So when I started school, they put me to sit with Josephine Rupien. And she kind of helped me along. Yeah, it's not something, but I didn't know not one word of English.
Was that kind of scary?
I can't remember now, but I know I sat with her. She was pretty. She was a nice, she was grade 8.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, so the school went up to grade 8 or grade 9? Just grade 8?
Grade 8 and sometime grade 9. I took my grade 9 there.
Oh, did you?
By correspondence.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would have had Christmas concerts and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. We had to make all the decorations for the Christmas tree. You know, we used to get those cones. I don't know what kind of tree cones were. There must have been those other jack pine or something. They were about this big. They were hard like a rock.
Yeah.
And we used to paint them gold and silver. And some of the cones would be off a spruce tree. They're different.
Mm-hmm.
Some would be gold and some silver. And we made popcorn to string. And we made all the decorations were made.
That was half the fun, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And we always had a Christmas concert. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything special you remember about the Christmas concerts?
Can't remember. I know one year we went with a wagon because there was no snow.
Oh.
Only one year I remember that went with a wagon. There was no snow. But, you know, it was good. You know, everybody, they had lunch there for everybody after. And it was a nice get-together.
Mm-hmm.
And the concerts were pretty big, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many children would be in the school in those days?
Oh, golly, there was that first school that I went to was made out of logs. It was a log, old first school, and they had a teacher she built onto it.
Oh.
So the teacher stayed right in there.
Sure.
And, oh, there must have been 30 kids or more. And she taught from grade 1 to grade 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really good. I learned lots. I can remember when she'd teach the other grades, the higher grades.
Yeah.
Picked up lots from there. It was interesting, you know. And
you were eavesdropping.
Yeah. Well, we're all in the same
sure
room.
Sure you
all
are.
All one room, eh?
And so you're learning a whole lot more.
And yeah. we had to learn math, I think, every day or second day. We all had to line up every grade separate, especially the younger grades. We had to learn our multiplication tables. I can add like you wouldn't believe even now. I don't even have to stop on my numbers. But, you know, one day I took my bills to the bank about 2 years ago, and the machines were down. Do you think those girls could? And I said, I don't want to come back to town just for that. I said, just add it up. You know, they couldn't add it up. They can't add them. They can't add them in the bank now. So I said, can I add it? She said, how are you going to add it? I said, I'll just add it in my head, eh? So I added up, and you know, they wouldn't do it because the machines were down.
Wow.
I thought, it's not something, they don't know no math.
Mm-hmm.
I know when Bailey and Christopher, the twins, when they started school, they'd come down here, they couldn't do math to save their life.
Mm-hmm.
They just couldn't. She says, we don't have to learn those things. Well, how are you going to ever know anything? So then Earl started playing cards with them. They learned pretty good. And then Christopher was really good in math after.
Exactly.
And he liked it. But they had no, they didn't have to learn anything. They just have, you know, when I was janitor at the school, every kid had a multiplication table glued to their desk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used these other little things after.
Mm-hmm.
And even to now, I don't know, some of them can't do math.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, the times table sort of went out of use for a while, and I think the kids really suffered.
Well, they sure don't, you know. Those that are worked in the bank, there, not one of them would add it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said they can't add it.
They're dependent on the machines.
Eh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they never had to learn it. But we had to learn them, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with multiplication, and that we'd all, teacher would bring a card 7 and 3,
mm-hmm.
and whoever got the right answer first got the points. I don't know just how, whatever, but anyway, we got something for it.
Oh.
We tried to be the
best one.
And that's how we learned, but now they don't do that.
How about the spelling? Did you do the spelling bees and stuff like that?
Yeah, we had spelling bees.
Yeah.
Yeah, every grade would line up. Yeah. Yeah, they were kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did the school have a library at all?
No.
No? Little library?
No. Because I forget what year it was when they built the new Youngville School. You know, it was built after that wooden, that log one. Then they built, I must have been about grade. Mary was going to school, so I must have been about grade 5, maybe,
mm-hmm.
when they built the new school.
What was the name of that school?
Youngville.
Youngville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it went to, it's part of Calling Lake School now.
Oh.
They took it down there and added on to that school.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Was the school, was it sort of like a community center with, did you have dances and things like that?
We used to go to Soddy Hall for dances.
Oh, Soddy.
Yeah, Soddy Hall, that was just, yeah. That's where they had the box socials and dances and concerts and everything.
Tell me about the box socials.
Oh, well, I don't know. They were kind of, every year they had one, eh? It was to raise money for something. And they, the ladies had to make a lunch box, no matter what they did to it or how they made it, or, you know, it was all kinds of fancy ones too.
They decorate it?
Yeah, they decorate it and put flowers on it or whatever out of tissue paper, you know, out of paper, you know.
Yeah.
And then the guys would then they'd sell them at the hall. At the dance, they'd sell them. And whoever bought what box, that's the lady he had to have lunch with. It was fun. It was really hilarious. So, yeah.
And then would they follow it up with a dance? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was just before supper, they'd sell them. Mm-hmm. And then they had a dance before supper. And then before supper, they'd have those box social sales. And then they'd have supper, and then they'd carry on. They were fun.
You were telling me a bit about how you made your own toys, and you mentioned the barrels that you took those
hoops.
Yeah, the metal hoops off.
Yeah, the barrels was my mom used to make sauerkraut in. They used to make 45-gallon drums of sauerkraut.
Wow.
You know, and that was. That never spoils, you know.
Yeah.
In the wintertime, they just kept it in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just had it all winter. Eh? And but then, you know, eventually the barrels got rotten. So we took the, what do you call them?
Metal hoops.
Those metal hoops from around them. So mm-hmm. I had the biggest one. My sisters had the two smallest ones. And, oh, we used to, that was my life. We never had a bike, ever, or anything, but those hoops, I'll never forget them. I told Donna, I said, put my old broken hoop wired one up in my coffin when I go. I had it out a few years ago, and it brought back memories.
Yeah.
No matter where we went, through the bush, through a path or anything, it would just follow, just go perfect.
You were just pushing it with your hand.
Yeah, I just, and then you kind of trotted behind it, eh, as fast as you pushed it, as fast as you went. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was like your own little sports thing, really.
Yeah.
You're running along with it, right?
It was, yeah, yeah. We had lots of exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at night, lots of time in the winter, our thing to do at home, the three of us, by the lamplight on the wall, we'd make figures with our hands, like a dog's head, a rabbit.
Yeah.
We used to make lots of them, eh? And we all did that. We did that for hours sometimes. Well, that was a pastime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You had a story about the earlier you had a story about the the baseball. Do you want to tell that one?
Well, when I was old enough, because we had no toys, eh? Just our hoops and play fox and goose and run around. When I was old enough, so I could figure out how to send to Eaton's catalog.
Okay.
So we made it. Us girls, we made the order, and I don't know how we got it to town, but it did get to town, and we got it. So the next day after breakfast, after we got it, we went out to play, and it was just a little ways from the house.
Yeah, and this was a ball and a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who was batting or who was pitching, but anyway, the ball went first pitch. It was a foul ball, but it went, oh my, it went high. It went high, and when it was coming down, it went like this at an angle, and it hit the upstairs window. And it just smashed it to smithereens. And it was right down below on the main floor. My mom and dad were by the kitchen watching in the kitchen. They had a table there mm-hmm. by that window. They were finishing their breakfast, and they were watching us play ball. All that glass come down. we sure got heck. We had to move away from the house after. But funny, first bat, first pitch.
Yeah.
It just, oh, it was a high foul ball, and it was just spinning. You see, when it was going like this, straight in the window upstairs. Wasn't that funny? It wasn't funny at the time.
No, it was funny tragic.
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of baseball, like with your friends and that after that?
At school, we used to have
ball
teams.
Oh, yeah.
And Walter Overholt had a truck, old truck, because they had the mail there.
Mm-hmm.
Them days, and he had to go for mail every Saturday, but he would take us kids to like Big Cooley, Laura School, Mercury, those schools. We'd go back and forth, play ball.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. To sports day, he'd take us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a real, we all rode in the back.
Like an open truck.
Oh, yeah, open truck, yeah.
Yeah.
And we all rode in the back.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
You made your own fun, eh?
Yeah, well, there was, that's right. In the summertime, we'd, another thing us kids had is we had a playhouse.
Oh. Like on the ground or in a tree?
Oh, no, just on the ground. And we made our own shelves, a lot of stuff, whatever, and any old cans we could find, and we'd make mud pies and things and all kinds of things. And I know used to be a red weed that used to grow about this tall.
Yeah.
It was just had these crooked things on it for flowers. They were just as red they could be. And if you put them in milk, the milk absolutely turned rosy color. So anyway, that worked until my mom caught us taking milk. She'd separate the milk and we'd go sneak some out. So that ended that.
Yeah.
Ended the milk anyway. But the rest we played, we had a playhouse, so we had that in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you close enough to other children that you would get together with them at their place or they come over here?
Well, it's not too much because the closest, well, when we got bigger, when I got bigger,
yeah,
and I was still going to school, but like Eddie Conyer, Norman Overholt, Robert Overholt, McKelvey Smelsleys, and Katie Sullick, and Eddie Conyer, and when they all, like I was a little bigger, I could make Spanish rice, eh?
Oh.
I've never made it since. I made that hundreds of times, I think. And they would all come to our place for this Spanish rice.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's all we had was Spanish rice, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And we used to get together, yeah. Yeah. Every Saturday we'd go for mail. There'd be kids there. Let's see. Yeah.
Where did you pick your mail up?
At Vi Overholt's, Walter Overholt's place.
Oh, I see. He brought it in and then
he brought it from town and everybody went there and got their mail. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. That were the days.
You talked a bit about the ice well and how you kept food cool.
Oh, yeah. Like, I stayed lots of my later years, like from 13, 14, 15, I stayed at Cobbsey's. That was my aunt and uncle.
I see.
And she had cancer then. Oh, she was sick. So they had 5 cows they milked, and they had chickens and some pigs, I think. Forget now. But anyway, I stayed there, so Danny and I did the work. Eh? And we milked the cows in the morning and night, in the morning before we went to school. Mm-hmm. So we had to get up fairly early. And he milked 5 cows, but boy, they gave a pail of milk apiece. Yeah. And then we'd separate, and then we had to take the cream down to the ice well, way down. It must have been as far as from here, farther than from here to the road. In the muskeg there, he made an ice well. I don't know how we ever got that ice in there, but it was all ice in there. Mm-hmm. I know a few times he said he spilled it in the bush because he said we couldn't make it to school. You know, we had to do that and then go to walk to school half a mile. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how deep would the ice well be?
Oh, it must have been good half, maybe up to my cupboards, top of those cupboards above the stove.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Yeah, and it was just solid ice.
It's about 8 feet?
It was muskeg, yeah. No, I don't know, would that be 8 feet? Yeah, pretty close. Oh. Maybe 6, 7, 8 feet. Yeah, there was ice in there all summer.
Well, was it big enough that you could walk down into it? Or?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we went down in it, and I know a few times Danny and I went down in there, and we made ice cream.
Oh.
Yeah, we nearly froze to death. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
And then Danny and I, we had to go for cows in the morning and at night, so anyway, we went and... So I had a heifer that I was kind of tame, not too wild. So I used to ride her.
Oh, really?
I've trained her to ride. And Danny had a steer. This heifer one time, she got frisky when I got on her back. And she ran and she bucked. And she bucked me off right in a burnt hole with full of nettles.
Oh.
So it kind of bucked my leg a little bit. So we didn't know what to do. We didn't want to limp so he would see us, you know, like Danny's dad.
Yeah.
He'd give us hecky. Mm-hmm. And whatever it was, Danny said, you know, he said, there's some horse medicine down in the basement there in bottles. He said, maybe we can put some of that on. I said, well, that's fine as long as it works. But it had a smell to it.
Oh.
So when he come in the house, he said, who was using that medicine?
Oh.
He wasn't stupid. He said, did you guys... touch that medicine down there or anything. I just forget what we told him, but we did. If I rubbed it on my leg, you know, because we thought we better get it better, eh?
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's what we did, you know. So then he told us not to take so long getting cows. He said, you guys are there for a long time, but we used to ride those two. I had a heifer and Danny had a steer.
Wow.
We could jump on their back with him. We had nothing on there, just a bare cow.
So your leg was, it worked for fixing your leg, did it?
Oh, well, yeah, we put it on anyway, but he knew, see?
Yeah, sure.
We didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work to do before you go to school.
That was a lot of work. And you know, no matter where I stayed, when I went to grade 10, I stayed at Smelsley's.
Oh.
Because I couldn't walk from there. There's no way I could ever get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd stuck dead in the snowbank somewhere. So, and we had to milk cows there too before we went to school.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you'd be up at what, 5 or 6 in the morning?
Yeah, it was early because, yeah. How it was. Yeah. There was one time when I come from that, from home one winter, because I'd go home on the weekend, eh? And come back Sunday evening, eh?
This is when you were a teenager?
When I was in grade 10.
Yeah.
There was one time I should have not made it because I left home, I don't know, sometime in the afternoon, and it was already getting dark, and I still had half a mile to go from that one corner to Smelsley's, and the snow was right up to your waist, eh? And I remember one foot up, and the other one would go right down to the bottom. I got so warm that I thought to myself, boy, I should just lay down here and have a rest. It was so warm. It was not far to Smelsley's, but I thought maybe I better go because it's getting dark.
Yeah.
So I battled that. I should have been the end of me there that time, but it was just one foot down and the other one would go right to your bum, right down again. And boy, that was labor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
How do you make progress? I mean, you're just...
Oh, it took me all afternoon to come there. Eh? So when I got there, Mrs. Smelsey said, oh, we didn't think you're coming. I said, that road, that crossroad is so glowed in. I said, I just about went to sleep there. I felt like it, yeah, and it was terrible, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the summer, I walked from home, the morning and night. Walked home and then walked.
Any idea how many miles that was?
Oh, golly, I can count now. See, 1.5, 2, 3, and another mile now. That's 4.5 miles from our place.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That was so long. It was hard to go to school them days.
Yeah.
Not like now. Mm-hmm. And one time when I was walking every morning and night there in the summer, I was going on the old Peace River Trail. That's the trail that I walked on, the old Peace River Trail. Eh?
Oh.
And I just come straight across, just had about a half a more mile to go to Smelsley's. And these three big animals run out of the bush. From the left side, they went to the right of the bush.
Mm-hmm.
And they stood in the middle of the road and they looked at me with their tongues hanging. I could see their eyes. I could see their teeth. They were just little ways from me. And one was dark gray. One was kind of whitish. And one was kind of beigey. Huge things, healthy, pretty things. But I thought, what the heck is that? They just come out of Smelsley's field and here I was, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to be wolves. And they just looked at me, and I stood, and you know, I was scared. And then they finally went. They finally went in the bush. And I thought, well, I better go or I'm going to miss the bus. And I was scared to go past that spot where they went in the bush.
Yeah.
So when I got to Smelsley's, Mrs. Smelsley said, God, she said, what happened to you? You said, you're as white as a ghost. I said, well, something come out on the road there. I said, they weren't dogs. I said, I was so close to them, I could see their teeth. They were panting, tongues hanging out. Pretty. But boy, did that scare me. And I don't, they were wolves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have any other run-ins with them? Or was that
just that one time. Yeah.
Catherine's made some notes about some of the things she's remembered in the last week or so.
Okay, this was our pop, because we never ever seen bought pop or knew there even was any. We'd go to the well and get a pail of ice cold water, come to the house and fill a 2-liter jar almost full, put a little vinegar and sugar in it, stir it, and put a little bit of baking soda in it and stir it fast and put the lid on the jar, or else it will all sizzle out on the cupboard. And that was our pop all the time. It was good. I can't remember the right amount of ingredients, but we didn't have to measure them days. We made it so often. And we had no toys, no bought toys. We just had a stick horse. And we had all kinds of fun with that stick horse. We put it in the barn and we'd gallop with it and whatever, fight with them, the horses would fight. And we just had a great time. And then we played hide and go seek among the 5-foot bushy willows. There was just hundreds of those little willows, and we'd play hide and go seek in there. That was every day. We made mud pies galore. Some of them turned out super good, some not. In the summer, we had a playhouse outside by the granary, and we had all kinds of different pretend dishes made from different things. We had tins, cans, everything we could find. And we made different food from weeds and seeds and grasses and you name it. And when Mother wasn't around, we'd go in the granary and get some skim milk and mix over with our pretend food. It was great, and we got all kinds of different colored food. That worked until my mom caught us. Then that was the end of that. We milked cows, so we had lots of cottage cheese, cream milk, buttermilk, sour cream. My dad's favorite was sour milk and fried potatoes and butter. The sour milk used to get so thick you could cut it with a knife. When he worked in the field in the summer with the horses, when he'd come in for dinner, lots of times he just went in the chicken house, got some eggs, and just down the hatch they went. That was his meal. So lots of the farmers would do that. Everybody had poverty food, and our poverty food was broken up bread in a soup bowl, sprinkled with a little sugar, and pour boiling milk over top. That it was good. We had that many, many times. We had homemade cereal for breakfast. Hundreds of times we had this. It was a Ukrainian cereal. And here's the recipe for it. You scald 4 cups of milk. Put together 1 cup flour, 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1 slightly beaten egg. And rub together till a coarse texture is formed. Gradually add flour mixture to the scalded milk, stirring constantly. Cover and simmer for 10 to 15 minutes. Serve hot with white or brown sugar. More milk may be added if preferred. This was a very good meal. Pierogies was another meal made with just potato filling and sour cream. Picked lots of blueberries in the fall, and we had to walk many, many miles all the way to Pine Grove Estates to pick the blueberries. And then we had to walk miles back home again and pack the few pails home. Our arms would be stretched to the ground. Parents, our mom and dad had cows and pigs in the later years, plus chickens, and everyone had some geese and ducks. The geese made our blankets and made our pillows. In the winter, the ladies got together and stripped the coarse feathers. We went to different places every time.
And that was when you would go from just for an afternoon to a neighbor's
house?
We'd
always go in the evening.
Oh, an evening, okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, we'd go in the evening and we'd strip the feathers and whatnot. There'd be quite a few of us ladies would go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are probably the best pillows you've ever had.
You still got them.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. I still got some of them. Yeah. Feather ticks, honestly, didn't matter how cold it was, those big eider downs, you know, they weren't sewed in the middle or anything. They were just filled with feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you could sleep outside and you don't get cold.
Is that right?
Yeah. They were just, yeah, I don't know, they were great. Yeah. So that was, we didn't need that much money because there, we had no money.
Mm-hmm.
So we just got everything off the place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My mama always had a big garden, terrific garden, lots.
Yeah.
And we canned jars and jars, even canned moose meat.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Chickens, because there was no fridges.
Mm-hmm.
Our fridge was put everything in a big bucket and hang it down the well.
Right.
So that then it would stay cold. Otherwise, we had to can everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That canned chicken was really good too, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It was good, yeah. Everything, even canned moose meat was really good, you know. You
mm-hmm.
fry it up with onions.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. I was surprised how good it used to be, yeah.
So listening to that recipe, the only thing you'd have to buy would be the sugar, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then when the war come, the sugar and that was all in ration, eh?
Oh, sure.
Everything, coffee, everything was rationed.
Mm-hmm.
So then people turned to honey. This one guy started a honey. He had a bunch of beehives. So he sold honey to.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So that was then. That was when we were growing up, eh? So where do we go to from there? So.
Well, I'm intrigued by the thrashing gang and how you met Earl.
And then there was thrashing, you know. I don't know that we say it before, that they slept, the guy slept in the straw stacks.
No, you hadn't said that. No.
Oh, and I hadn't said that. Well, when thrashing time, there was always about 8 to 10 guys, and there's no place you could think. So they slept in. Lots of the guys that had were from farther away, they slept in the straw stack.
Ah.
They just brought a blanket from home and they just went in the straw stack, and they said it was nice and warm.
Mm-hmm.
But in the morning we had to have breakfast ready at 8 o'clock for everybody, and so everybody would go to work, and then they had coffee about 10 o'clock, and then dinner, and then lunch at 4 o'clock, and then they thrashed till late.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we always had to take lunch out, and Earl would always stay behind for some reason. He would stay behind, back, you know, we were still not that, I mean, going to school yet, and so one time we always played this record, the Don Waltz. That was his. He played it all night till 1 o'clock in the morning before he would go to bed. And then that kept on for a few years like that. Never thought nothing of it or anything. and then that's where I met Earl. And he told me once that he had me picked out a long time ago, but I don't know if he was telling the truth or not, or just saying that, and every year I'd get a Christmas card from him, and all it would say in there, remember the Don Waltz. and then I went to school to town, but I had to walk, oh God, about 6-7 miles morning and night.
You're kidding.
To go to the Swanberg store, and Paul Cavalog had a truck. It was just a truck with the roof on top. There was no heat in it or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we drove to town. But one time I was coming in the fall, I was coming walking, and I stopped at Smelsley's and went to walk with those kids. And this one time I was walking, and maybe about 30 feet or so, or 40 feet from me, these three big things run across the road, and that scared me. One was kind of blackish, one was kind of a whitish, and one was kind of a browny color, and they all looked at me. They were close enough, I could see their teeth and their eyes. I just stood there, because I thought, I said, what big dogs? But you know, they were wolves.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then I was scared to go on the, after they went in the bush, I was scared to go past there where they were, so when I kind of stressed. I was kind of late when I got to Smelsley's. Mrs. Smelsley said, gee, she said, you're just Snow White. Yeah, I said, something come across the road. I said, I don't know what it was, three big, big things. And they had to be wolves, eh? So that was, I don't know, I finished that year, so then... So then after that, that was the end of my school. And so that was grade 10 then.
Okay.
It's too hard. Too hard to go to school them days.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we, Earl and I, we met. And we started going out together after that.
Yes.
And then we were married in 1949, December the 9th. And that was the first day we could walk across the river on the ice.
Oh.
And Charlie Parker met us on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then Flo Swanberg took us to town, to the river. And we had our dance at Soddy Hall. I think that was the last dance there at Soddy Hall. And whatever. So then we just lived on the farm, and we farmed right from scratch. Neither one of us had any two pennies to rub together, but we made it.
Yeah. Did you buy land of your own, or were you on some rental?
We had this
rental.
This land here was Earl's and Mom's and Dad's place.
Mm-hmm.
But they were his. He was born when his mom was 46.
Oh.
And he said he never had a childhood because he said all the Devlins and all those Carlsons were all playing and hollering the kids, and he had to be in bed at 8 o'clock. He never, I don't think, ever made his kids go to bed. He said he'll never forget that, when he had to go to be in bed 8 o'clock. Eh?
And everybody else is playing.
Yeah, and hollering, and he said the sun was still shining sometimes. But he paid. He had to pay for this because his dad was old. He was old in his 80s when we got married. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
His mom was too. So they couldn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Did you build your own house then?
No, we lived wherever we could find a roof. Well, that one that's fallen down just up the road there, we lived there for a year and a half, and then we got a Eddie Conyer bought us a little shack from someplace west of Baptiste Lake that they used for camp for people working in the bush. It was not very good. And that's our two bedrooms. It was our kitchen and the bedroom then.
Oh.
But now it's our two bedrooms. We still got it. Still good.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we just added on. We added on 5 times to our house. Yeah, there was no power or nothing then, no phones. It was different than now.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow we made it. That's why I still can't. I save everything. Yeah, there's use for everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We had chickens. I had chickens 2 years after Mary, so I had chickens at 20, and I still have them. And I think this is it for my chickens.
I didn't realize you still had chickens.
Yeah, I still got a few. If I could get rid of them right now, I'd get rid of them. Yeah.
And when did your first child come along? Like,
Ron?
It was Ron that's the oldest?
Yeah. Ron was born in 51. Mm-hmm. And Donna was born in 53, and Debbie in 57, Sandy in 60, and Wayne in 63. Yeah.
It was a busy household.
Well, it was busy, but you know, Earl never told his kid, the kids, to ever go to bed. If I'd known, because I used to be treasurer or secretary or something at Fairhaven Hall for years, and we'd have meetings there, and he and Earl was home with the kids in the early school days, And one time the meeting was down that way, so I come on this road, and I thought, whew, the whole house is lit up. It was 11:30, whole house. I said, what in the heck? And I could see heads above the windows in the lights, just a bobbing, just a flying around. I thought, what are they doing? So just by the time I drove from there down here and parked and got in the house, there was not a soul around, and it was just like deader than a doornail. And I thought, no lights on, and Earl's sitting in his chair reading. I said, are the kids in bed? He said, oh yeah, a long time ago. I said, I never said nothing, but so he never ever told his kids to go to bed. And I never ever, because he said it was terrible when he had to, all those kids were playing so early, and he had 8 o'clock, he had to be in bed.
He's permanently scarred, yeah.
But there was not one squeak out of nobody after I got in. I couldn't figure that out, how that happened. So, yeah, and then were the days.
Kids must have loved it when Dad was babysitting.
Yeah, well, when I saw those lights, I thought, holy smokes, nobody's in bed yet, and I could see heads running around in the house. And boy, they were in bed. They were in bed by the time I just come around and come in. Yeah.
And when did you start doing the baking and all that you do now? I mean, you're still going to the market.
Oh, I've still been baking. I catered for about 40 years.
Did you really?
I catered for, it's just the last 2 years I haven't catered. Well, I catered weddings. I found a piece of paper when I was doing my income tax. My God, there was a couple months every weekend. It was a wedding or something. For 40 years. And the farmer's market, I did that ever since they had one. Some at Fairhaven or... Mm-hmm. Always went to the farmer's market.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy it, don't you?
Must be the cooking part, I guess. I don't know.
So, Catherine, what were some of the other things you thought of?
When we were small?
Yes.
Okay, another thing that we really, we had no toys. But we at night, when there'd be by a lamplight and you'd have shadows on the wall.
Oh, yes.
We used to sit on the bed and make dog heads, cats, rabbits. We were pretty good at it. Figures out of...
Just your
fingers. Yeah, your fingers, like the shadows. We used to do that every night, no winter time. And I used to, when they all went to, everybody went to bed, then I used to sit and paint by the lamp, by the coal oil lamp.
Did you really?
Yeah, draw. Uh-huh. I used to just love drawing, and I still like it. You know, and I used to, everybody be in bed, and I'd be drawing something. Yeah, and then when we went to school, did I say about that janitor job and things we did at the school?
Not much.
No. Oh, when I was a little bit older, about grade 7 or something, we done the janitor job, mm-hmm. my sisters and I. And we had to pack wood, great big wood for those big barrel heaters,
Oh, sure.
For the next day, and sweep the floors and clean the brushes and blackboards and wash the desks if they needed it. And for $10, and get water from the neighbors. We had to walk to get the water.
Oh.
And for $10 a month.
Wow. Was that $10 for all your sisters?
Yeah, for us, we done it for.
Okay, so it wasn't $10 each.
Oh, no, no.
No, no.
$10. Oh. So that's how bad the times were,
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd be hauling the water in pails?
Yeah, we'd have to take a pail from the school and go to Repien's there, and go and get a pump it out of the well and bring a pail to the school. Mm-hmm. And then I stayed at my uncle's there, remember, and my aunt's. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked there since I was 14. I stayed there, eh? Mm-hmm. But we milked cows before we had to go to school. Yeah.
So you'd be up at, what, 6 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I don't know, I can't remember the time, but it was early because we had to milk the cows and take the cream down to the ice well and then take the cows back to pasture and then and then go to school. Mm-hmm. We had half a mile to walk to school from there, but even so, that's...
Yeah, it's quite a ways.
Yeah. And we always had to bring the milk cows home in the summer because they used to go out to pasture. It was about 2 miles.
Like a community pasture?
Well, we used to call it... We used to buy a piece of land, not buy it, but rent it, pay something on it. I just forget. Mm-hmm. And then you can pasture your cows. And you had to put fence around it when you had the cows.
Yeah.
But we had to, in the summer, we always had to go for cows and then take them back to pasture and milk the cows and do whatever. Yeah.
Every day,
yeah. And pigs, we had lots. My mom had lots of pigs. And she had, she used to grow lots of potatoes. And she would cook potatoes in a big barrel outside and mix it with the grain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's how she'd be fed the pigs. It was not so expensive.
Sure.
Yeah. Did that. Yeah. And then, shall I start off now when Earl and I got married then? No?
Sure.
Okay, so when we were going out, we had no vehicle.
No.
We had no vehicle, so we used to walk. I'd leave home the same time, and there was no phones either.
Oh, that's right.
So we'd leave home the same time. He'd leave from up here, and I'd leave from my home, and we'd meet halfway up the old Peace River Trail, the original Peace River Trail down there. And we'd meet about halfway on it. Then we'd always come here. And then at night we'd go home on the tractor.
Oh.
We had a little Ford tractor.
Yeah.
So that was our car. Yeah, that's what we went with all.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was them days. And then we got married on December the 9th, 1949. It was the first day we could walk across the river in our shoes. There was no snow. It was a beautiful day, sunny, sun shining. It was a beautiful day. But so Flo Swanberg took us to the river from here, and Charlie Parker met us on the other side and picked us up and took us to church. and it was a beautiful day. And then so the supper was at my mother's place, my dad's place, and from there everybody went to Soddy Hall. Them days there was no such a thing as invitation to a wedding dance. Everybody went. Whoever wanted to go to the dance went. It was just packed.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was nice weather or whatever, and then when we were going to go home about 2 o'clock in the morning, when everybody went out, they all come back in. It was just a blizzard come, and it snowed and blew. There was drifts. You couldn't, guys, come back. They couldn't drive home, and it just turned cold that night. And lots of the guys had their vehicles, the cars froze up because they didn't have antifreeze in it. You know, they used to just have water then.
Yeah.
And so we didn't get home till the next day because we couldn't get home. And And that got cold there. It got so cold for 2 months. Like, we got married December the 9th and until February the 7th. Before the weather warmed up, and you could walk, and you could hear your breath crack.
Oh, really?
It would freeze. That was how cold. Oh, it was cold, man. And then it didn't warm up till February the 7th.
Talk about a deep freezing.
Oh, it was cold, and how it snowed that night. I know we couldn't get out of from the hall to my mother's place because it was drifted in. It was just kind of a wild storm.
Mm-hmm.
So then we got, my mom and dad gave us 2 heifers. Was for our.
That was your wedding present.
Yeah.
Nice.
So the next spring, when they had calves, one of the heifers had twins. That was the start of our cows, and then we got some turkey eggs from my mom, and we set just pluckers on the turkey eggs, and we got lots of turkeys. They had to put a bell on the turkey after if you want to know where they lay, because they would always go way out in the bush somewhere where and we used to do that. Then we got chickens, so I wrote here, I've had laying hens for 66 years this year.
No kidding.
Yes, 66 years. I said they were our kids' books for school when you had to pay the fee there, and
sure.
And everything was their clothes and everything. So I said it was not much money, but it was a little bit. And I can remember when we got married, Earl smoked, and they used to have those packages of tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
That used to fit in their shirt, and they were only, I think, 69 cents or something. And I know we didn't have enough money to scratch up. We had to really scratch in the house to find 69 cents so he can go buy a package of tobacco. That's how poor the times were.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt us any. I think it did us good.
Were there other things that gave you cash besides the eggs?
The eggs, no. Earl worked. He worked in the bush every winter.
Yeah. I was thinking of the farm produce and that.
Oh, no, I don't know. A little bit of grain, maybe.
Milk? No.
Had milk. No, we didn't sell milk.
You didn't
milk,
sell
no.
it?
No. It took us a few years to get the milk cows, to get more cows. But I said, we just had a little two-room shack up north of Baptist Lake. It got pulled in. This was one that... guys that used to cut logs and trees in the bush in the wintertime, like, I don't know what. And so that wasn't in use, so we bought that. Eddie Conyer pulled it to our place with a cat.
Oh.
So we fixed it up, and we were there for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we added the living room on. And then we added this part on. And then we dug the basement and pulled the house on the basement, and it just fit perfect.
Wow.
Yeah. That guy McGee. It was McGee that was the carpenter that did that.
Uh-huh.
He'd sure done a good job. It just fit perfect. And it was Loopels that moved the house on the basement, and they only charged $400 and some.
Mm-hmm.
They were here for a few days too. Yeah.
Lots of history, in the house.
it'd been built 5 times. Otherwise, maybe it wouldn't have been quite so big. When we built the living room on, was when the river flooded and Richards had lumber there by the river, and it flooded it. And so then it went for sale. So that was when we bought that lumber to build and that part on, and we got shavings, which didn't cost nothing, to put in the instead of insulation.
Yeah,
we got shavings, and they're still good.
Uh-huh.
So that was how we got our house. And in the winter time, Earl always worked in the lumber camps.
Would that be out towards Calling Lake?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Reapians or Ardams or there's somebody else there, I just forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hard work, eh?
And it was hard work. And then I cooked in the camp for 3 winters.
Oh, did you?
And my goodness, what they have now to work with. And we had a wood stove to cook at Conyers. And there was no side even there where the stove was so old and worn out, there was not even no side where the burn, where you put wood in to burn. It was
mm-hmm.
wood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I cooked, I think, for 15 to 20 guys every day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner and supper.
Was that when the children were still
young? Ron and I just had the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you take them to the camp then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We stayed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we had more cattle, and that's where Earl stayed home to look after that. And I went. But it was sure tough cooking, you know. There was no water in the camps, no nothing, eh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Would the crews be fairly big crews, or were they?
Well, the one that Ardams was about 15 to 20 people.
Oh.
And sometime there'd be a trucker or something.
Mm-hmm. About the camps.
Oh, yeah. We worked there in the camps. And I worked there for 3 years, and I only got $120 a month. So that was not very good wages compared to now, eh?
No, that's right.
No. But it helped. It was a dollar.
Yeah.
And so I did that for 3 years, and then I stayed home. And we planted a garden, always had big garden. We always canned. We used to have a recipe with a hamburger thing, with hamburger and vegetables, and you canned it. And it was a meal for the kids all the time.
Oh, really?
It was an ever good sell. I used to can about 70, 80 quarts of that every fall. A hamburger was only 3 pounds for a dollar then. And we canned jars and jars, and then we made another one was we canned lots, maybe 100 quarts of soup. You just put all your vegetables when were ready in the garden and whatever, and I think we had to buy tomato juice or something for it, and that's it. But that was a very hearty soup.
It was all vegetables, was it?
Yeah, vegetables and maybe a little bit of rice or barley, or I just forget.
Sure.
But it was good, and we canned that for years and years and years, and canned other vegetables and everything. Always had a big garden and lots of canning, lots of picking blueberries on the sand. We had to walk about 6 miles with these pails of blueberries to get home. But we canned blueberries galore. In fact, I still have 2 quarts of blueberries canned, and they're sitting on the top of my shelf, and they look as good as the day I put them in there. And I don't want to touch them. I'm going to see how long they'll keep. And I had 3 quarts of peas and carrots canned, and I thought, golly, that was still before we got the power. I did that because since the power, I haven't done that.
Yeah.
And so about 10 years ago, I opened one jar. I said to Earl, I said, well, let's see if it's any good or not. They're just as nice and orange and green in a jar as could be, eh? And it was really good. But it was just perfect. And so the other 2 jars are sitting beside the blueberries. I'm going to see how long they're going to stay there. But everything was in the jars. It had no power. No power for a deep freeze. And then as the years went by, we got more stuff and whatever, and got more land, went in the hole and got all this stuff. Then we had to work to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then baked bread, I used to when everybody was home, when the five kids were all home and going to school at the same time for a period there, I said I baked 100 pounds of flour a month.
My goodness.
Yeah, it all went. Boy, we baked bread in the old wooden stove. It was really good. And we had our own milk, our own cream milk, sour milk, sour cream, buttermilk, butter, cream, whatever. So that didn't cost us nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And said we had, we were happy them days. The house was warm, the roof didn't leak, and we had lots to eat. We had five children. Ron is 67 now, Donna is 64, Debbie is 60, and Sandy is 57, and Wayne is 53. And we started off at a little two-room building. We built on five times through the years. The last addition was we made a basement and got the movers. They were Loophole moving outfit from Edmonton to pull the house onto the basement. It fit just perfect. Yeah. But it was lots of hard work, but it was good. It was lots of work for the kids. Sandy said she can remember potting peas, a tub of peas to pot.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, she says she'll never forget that. But there was food for everybody, so. Yeah. And now Earl has passed away in 2005, and I'm still here. I don't know what I'll be doing. Yeah. It's kind of a sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just finished making up how many loaves of Easter bread?
Oh, God, I just made... I baked for 2 weeks straight here. I said, and I think I'm going to have to quit it because, boy, I got arthritis in my thumbs and they hurt. Mm-hmm. My back is no good. I'm wore out. So I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah.
People can't stay away from you because it's all so good, the things that you make.
I don't know. I sold out completely on the market.
I think you usually do, don't you?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one market not so much quite a while ago. Mm-hmm. But pretty well, I don't know. There was some guy that comes and the next time I see him, I'm going to ask him who he is. I don't know what his name is. He comes about halfway through and he just about cleaned my table off. Mm-hmm. But I don't know who he is.
When you say the market, you're talking about every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Up at the multiplex.
At the multiplex. I don't go to the river because it's too hard. I'm scared to even drive in there. It's tight in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I'm free in the summertime, mm-hmm. which is kind of good too.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And in terms of the things that you're putting out on those market days, you're doing everything from
baking.
It's baking, and it's also the little halopshis or whatever.
Oh yeah, cabbage rolls and pierogies.
And pierogies.
And when I had eggs, then I used to take eggs too. Oh, they're all come for eggs. They want the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I said no more eggs.
Well, I think the last time I was here, you had, 100 pierogies in the freezer?
Yeah.
Ready for somebody?
Yeah. Well, I took some to the market and when they went. Mm-hmm. And whatever. Cabbage rolls all went.
Mm-hmm. You're still enjoying living out here, though, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I hate to go anywhere, but, I can't do nothing outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of gone to heck.
Doesn't look bad to me.
Huh?
Doesn't look bad to
me.
Oh,
it's terrible to what it used to be. I can't cut the grass no more. And the last couple of years, I can't walk in the garden for some reason. And that soft soil, if somebody would have told me that a few years ago, I would have never believed it.
Mm-hmm.
But honest to God, I cannot walk in the dirt in the garden. Well, I don't know. Golly.
So you haven't got firm enough. It's not firm enough.
No, I don't know. I'll fall down in there if I don't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that was all my garden, all that there.
All out here.
Yeah, that was, used to put that all into garden, but last year I didn't because that storm wrecked everything.
Yes.
There was Bennett's and me and Bill Ells, Rosalie and Tommy and little Harvey there. We had no garden hardly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a bad storm.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. I don't know what, it took the roof off that little roof we have in the back there over, and it took that right off.
Mm-hmm.
Half of it was on the north side, and the other half of it was on the south side, so you could see how it was twisting. Eh?
My goodness.
Broke all these trees up here, and the lightning hit my house. It was already finished, because I looked out the window to see what it's doing. There was nothing. And I sat on the chair there, and all of a sudden a crack came. And it was not just a crack of thunder. It was something in the attic.
Oh.
Just like a bulldozer up in there, you know. And I actually got scared. And I had to. And I got out of the kitchen because I thought the ceiling was falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And then after it quieted down, then the lights started going down, down, pushing down. I had no lights. I had to get an electrician. And the wires were all burnt inside there to the light.
So
they were all burnt and... So I don't know, but I never heard a crack like that, a thing like that ever. Now I'll be scared when the thing comes. But that was scary.
Did he figure it was lightning?
Oh, it was lightning because I lost my fridge.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this one and the other one in the porch burnt the light out.
Oh, my goodness. That's
shocking. Oh, huh?
Shocking.
Scary. Mm-hmm. I never heard, ever in my life, I heard a racket like that. And the ceiling is warped, too, now. Because when he come to fix the light, it didn't fit against the ceiling. And he said, maybe I didn't tighten the screws tight enough. So he took it all apart again. Screws were tight. He says, you know, your ceiling is warped. Well, that was from that crap.
Really?
Yeah.
So any other things you'd like to say, or is that... Pretty well sum it up.
Yeah, maybe we should do.
They're wonderful stories, Catherine.
Huh?
They're wonderful stories.
Yeah, there's likely some I missed, but I can't.